Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And, well, today I was hoping to get back into the book of Jasher and pick it up where we left off. And who knows? We'll see what else we might get into or talk about. All right? It's kind of like a open dialogue as we go. If you caught our last show, you know that we read a chapter and did our little critique on it, and who knows where it can lead to, right? So, yeah, I was hoping to possibly do that again today and read in the Jasher and see what, you know, new things we can uncover. We must be reminded continually that Jasher kind of complements up our canon, but however, our canon holds the authority. It holds what we call the truth. But, you know, our canon only kind of just brushes right over these historic moments, and it doesn't give us detail. Well, Jasher kind of fills in those gaps, all right? But, however, and that's all good, but, however, when those little gaps interfere with the basic storyline that our normal canon gives us, or has another ending to it, or things of that sort, we got to choose our canon over this book, all right? for what we call this truth. So we must just consider that, take all that in. And, So, you know, let me look at the call board, and let's see if Sister Thale has made it in, and we'll kind of go from there. All right, Sister Thale must be running a little behind today. It's just me right at the moment, but that's all right, that's all right. All right, so I'm a trucker by trade, everybody. I'm taking my 34. I was able to kind of listen in on some Passover speeches that was given yesterday. A lot of Hebrew Israelite camps celebrated Passover the other day because they mark March is the first of the year, right? So, they don't go necessarily by the Roman calendar on when the year starts. They go around March, soon spring starts. That's when the year starts, all right? And so from there, they start their countdown, right? So to them, a new year, the first of our new year was this past, yesterday. But that's not all camps. Some camps are going to wait right to the end of March and then start their new year, spring. It's a little argument over the calendar and the days. And I guess I kind of dip into that right quick and where I stand with that. There's a lot of differences on when they start the year. However, you got a bunch of Israelites that don't go by our calendar at all, right? They go by the moon, okay? And that's a whole other topic story in itself, but I'm very interested in it because I want the truth. You know, if I'm looking at it wrong, you know, I ain't going to knock those brothers that go by the moon. I don't. So telling me the truth is just as hard to, like, bend my mind to understand it. You feel me? Because, see, the creation happened in 7 days, according to our Bible. All right? What he did on the first day, and then he ended it on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day. He created the earth, everything else. However, how was they doing time back then? All right? Was they going by the calendar that we have today, the Roman Greco calendar? Of course not, right? Well, do the Roman Greco calendar, a Julius calendar, what's the name of this calendar we got now? It's basically the Roman calendar, Julian calendar. Is that calendar you think is accurate with our Bible? Like Monday, is that really Monday? Is Saturday really the seventh day of the week? If that's the thing about it. You see where the dilemma is? So we going by Saturday being the seventh day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Bam. Then I guess Saturday is our day. It is what just happened. That's what we go. That's what a lot of us go by. But if you was going by the month, by the moon and the sun and things like that, well, then your 365 days looking a little different. See what I'm saying? You're starting your first year off, like, right now, you know. You know what I'm saying? Or at the end of this month, that's when your year starts. Right? So technically, the spring has not started yet. Or it might have already started. I don't know how they do it over there on that side. Because they're going by the moon and stuff and the seasons. and things like that. So it's something else. It's hard for me to keep up with and understand, but I'm going to do it. And, you know, if God calls me, it reveals this truth to me that going by the moon is the correct way, you know, to count our week up, our days up, then that's the way I'm going to start going. I just got to be more convinced, you know what I'm saying, that the moon and the stars is the way to go and count my day, right? I got to be, you know, that truth got to be revealed to me, man, in order for me to accept it. And bam, you know, because right now it's still fuzzy. You know, I can, literally I can kind of understand why they do it. But that feeling where you get where you know it's right, that right there is still missing. Yeah, let me see if Sister Faye hasn't called in yet. Hold on. All right. Nope, not yet. All right. So what I was thinking about doing is go ahead and get started with the Book of Jasher, unless we have somebody call in and get it started like that. I don't know, y'all. I don't know what I want to do. I really don't want to start without this spell, but if she's taking too long, then I guess I will. I guess I will. Let me see. I know what to do. This is a good way to, you know, get a little bit of time. Let me go and play another little song for us and give her a little bit, a few more minutes to come on in. If she's not in yet, then I'm going to go ahead and get started and start reading, okay? All right. So that's the plan. Okay. So what I want to play for us is... How about Mount Up with Brother Bronze? Huh? Y'all like that one, don't you? All right, let's go with Mount Up.
Isaiah 40 and 31. With faith and wait upon thy power shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And as a child I thought, understood this better. When I became a man, I put the childish things away. The time has come for us to armor up and operate. To all my rules of life, mine, let the kingdom mount up. For the verse of Zephaniah chapter 2 is required. We mounted up tighter than fighters without all the liars. That being and holy world, the whole world aspire. And they could detonate the weapons, set the earth on fire. But it still don't matter, why? Cause they ain't got the highest, they ain't got the highest. The enemies with your shyest, we gon' drop them in the end like David did Goliath. Never should've tried us, getting rolled on like tires. Like what? Getting rolled on like tires. It's a futile mission, they on niggas to save you. All the prayers that they wear on their head, he finna take them and give them to us. Heed the words that I wrote, I feel like John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. Let us all alike mind link up and get this work. And those that ain't with it, do them for whatever that's worth. Calm it down with a new mind and a new mouth. Putting wicked Mr. Anguish, Grunity dangerous, mount up. Grunity dangerous, mount up. Like what? And as a child I thought, understood this better.
As a child I thought, understood this better.
When I became a man, I put the childish things away.
When I became a man, I put the childish things away.
The time it took for us to armor up and operate.
It's time for us to armor up and operate.
To armor up and operate. To armor up and operate. To armor up and operate.
Why am I my brother's keeper? Cause Yeshua is my teacher. I recite a thousand scriptures. There's nothing if love don't reach
this
up.
This for the brothers and the sisters.
All shades, sizes, and features. Call it brunity. Coming together to form this mutiny.
Community.
Our highest forever. He's our immunity.
Unity.
The soul is forever. That mean eternity. So learn to be of one mind. Cause our Lord, our God is one time.
And it's so sharp as your line.
And I hope I'm yours, is your mind.
What? and I hope I'm yours cause you're
pain
mine.
Pain and weapon form that's piercing where the hyena is born. It's like we spying in the lands where the giants were spawned.
If you was Joshua,
leading like a hyena was watching ya.
This is where we take a stand,
cause we formed in this hand. We build a brethren from the floor, cause we mounted up for war. Let your heart faint not, cause a higher one before.
We commanded cause we sanctified.
The tears will be calcified.
This ain't war.
It's a genocide.
What?
It's a genocide.
And as the child I taught understood this man. When I became a man, I put the childish things away.
Ancient the day, earth. You created a man out of dirt. You created a fish in the sea. Get commandments to Adam and Eve. You the one that told Abraham leave. You the one that gave Sarah the seed. And they wonder why I hit my knees. The water Abba, we a part of this. Ancient today. We give you praise. Your holy day, your holy day, your holy day. Submit to your way, submit to your way, submit to your way. Ancient the day, ancient the day, ancient the day. We give you praise, we give you praise, we praise. Your holy day, your holy day, your holy day, your holy day. Submit to your way, submit to your way.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, y'all. Ooh, all right. I'm trying to be a little busy. I'm at a truck stop, getting myself together and relax for the show. I have to run in the last second during the break and buy me a little energy drink or whatever, you know, give me a little boost to my system there. Took with me a little nap. And I'm just prepared to kind of dive in deep and get into the book of Jasher and read with y'all today. All right, let me make my way into this truck, get out of the noisy parking lot. All right. And, hey, folks, I'm a trucker by trade, so I'm always on the road. All right, so. All right, Sister Thale have made it in. All right, let me open up a line.
Shalom,
all right,
brother.
Sister Thale.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited
all
as
right.
Well.
All right. I was just napping right before the show, so I'm just kind of getting myself together myself.
Okay.
All right, and I gave you a call to see if you were coming in, and so everything's going to work out just great. All right.
Well, wonderful.
Okay. So without further ado, let me go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and read in the book of Jasher. Let's see. Let me put on my earbuds.
Okay.
So I can keep a watch of who's calling and things like that. And let me know if I sound a little, you know, if the sound quality is not good or something.
Okay.
One second. Let me put on my little earbuds.
Yeah.
And so I can, as I read, I also can see who's calling in and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So get that going. Let me get that going. I'm excited. I am very, very excited because Jasher has been a really eye-opener of some of the details that we, okay, you hear me, Cecile?
Yeah, I hear you. It went down a little bit, but a little low, but we'll see as you go. I'll be sure to tell you. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay, so you said it went down now? Or?
Well, it's better now. As you talk, I can hear you better. I can give you an assessment better.
Okay,
As you go.
All right, just let me know if I start, you know, sounding a little messed up. I'm also not that best of a signal yet. So, we're going to do our best with it, all right? Okay,
yeah.
All right. Now, with that being said, let me open up my book. Oh, I'll go through my Bible here. Yeah, I am excited. I'm excited to be back into the scriptures with you, Cecile, because that last show, it was kind of having a roller coaster ride, you know, with Abraham's wife Sarah dying and how she died, you know. Matter of fact, I think we were about to go.
I think you must have moved or something because I thought you went out for a minute there. I still hear
Can you hear me good?
Some noise. I hear some noise also. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead and continue, brother.
Okay, is that better?
I mean, as you talk, I can find out. Yeah, as you talk. I can't hear you until you start saying something, so that's better. But I heard some noise in the background. I don't know if that was you moving around or what.
Oh, no. I don't know what it could have been.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's okay now, so let's continue.
Okay. What I was just saying, though.
That was it.
Was,
did you hear that?
What? No.
There's a buzzing noise. A buzz. Okay. Let's go ahead and continue. It's not on my end, as far as I know. Okay, but go ahead, brother.
Well, yeah, now I'm trying to find this. If my truck is on, so maybe if I turn my truck off, you wouldn't hear that. All right, so how about now?
I mean,
but it
sounds okay right now. I don't hear it. Right.
That buzzing noise, probably vibration of, you know, the truck, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Okay.
But
I
turned
right,
off the truck now.
Okay. Let's see if that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So what I was just saying is how about we go to Genesis before we get started in Jasher, just for Sarah dying in the book of Genesis. Huh? Okay, I was thinking, what do you think about that?
That's fine, brother.
To see what was said.
But I do need you to pay attention to sound control because that buzz is still there. It's an interference, actually. I hear it. I don't know what the cause may be, but if you mute me, you tell me if it's But you say you don't hear anything, right?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay,
okay, tell
well,
me what
ahead.
You hear now.
You're very
what
clear
you,
now.
What do you?
You're more clear than you were a few minutes ago. But
okay, so I took off my earbuds.
There was a buzzing sound that comes in. Yeah, a buzzing sound that was coming in as you were talking. So I was just saying, do you hear that noise? Okay.
No,
but
ma'am.
I don't hear it right now. I do not hear it right now.
It must have came from my earbuds.
It may have.
I don't know what that's about. Okay. Gotcha. So let me look it up in the book of Genesis. And let's see if I can find out where exactly Abraham wife. Let's see if I can find it. I'm gonna go to okay, in our canon, Genesis 23. In our canon, she died at 127. I think so. All right, Genesis 23. See if I can find Genesis 23. Genesis chapter 23. Okay, Sarah was 107 and 20 years. 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah.
All right.
Sarah died in Gerjatharba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession and burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hold on, let me, I think it's important to, if we go to chapter 22 of Genesis and how Sarah died, right? That's what we really want to, just want to get started to see how different Jasher is from our normal canon, right? So this is Genesis chapter 22 right here, and I don't really know where to start at, so I'm going to go ahead and start at the top up here, because I'm thinking this is where it's going to have where Sarah dies. Okay.
Okay.
I'm looking around, and I don't see Sarah nowhere. Okay, I don't see Sarah nowhere.
In 22, you mean?
Yeah, in chapter 22, Genesis where 20. When was the last time we talked to her? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get mm-hmm. worst worry last time we talked to her till when she passed. And so now I'm in Genesis 21, and I still don't see Sarah. Okay, so.
Mhm.
Okay. Right. All right. Okay.
That's
I see
the reason.
In 21, I see Sarah. I see Sarah in 21.
Okay.
Okay, and this is the part where, let me just start and read a little bit of 21. And the Lord visited Sarah mm-hmm. as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have been born with him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his brother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time.
Okay, brother, if you'll stop right there. In the canon, it didn't say anything about Ishmael trying to harm Isaac.
Right. In the canon, they don't go into detail on what actually went down that made Sarah just like, you know what, they got to go.
Right. It did not tell us that. It just said that Sarah was upset, and she just she told Abraham that they had to leave. But, see, it didn't go into detail, so, see, I never knew that. It was never talked about in church.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So
that's basically
by default,
what I just wanted to.
So by default, basically all we knew was that this Egyptian woman, once she got pregnant, she considered herself number one wife, and she was acting a little certain type of way to Sarah, right? And Sarah had to chastise her on that. But now that Sarah had a child, in our minds, just on our canon alone, we thought she remembered when this Egyptian woman was acting up, you know? And so she just decided to tell that Egyptian and her child to just leave, get away, you know? And Abraham just kind of did what his wife said to do. Right?
However,
but now
you notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that. Ishmael was thinking about doing harm or trying to kill Isaac. He was thinking about killing Isaac.
Right.
But you see how the Most High didn't hold it against Ishmael because his mother was mocking Sarah all the time for those. However old he was, 13 years old, for the past 13 years before Sarah conceived. But she wanted to be, you know. So you see how what she did, her son was doing as well. So by her mocking Sarah, the son grew to hate the new child because of that. So you see, but the Most High still blessed Ishmael. He still blessed Ishmael because he was a child. Yeah, there you go. I just wanted to point that out as well.
So the book of Jasher kind of, you know, goes into details and now lets us know that Ishmael, whatever he did, you know, he pointed that arrow at that baby boy or whatever he did. That was a turn of events, right? And Sarah was like, oh, no. Y'all got to go. He did something. And I'm sure that whatever he did, it stemmed from his mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His mother, whatever spirit his mother had, you know, that was on Ishmael as well, you know.
Yeah.
And in the book of Jasher, it kind of lets us know that when he had got his own wife, his first wife, she was kind of acting a certain kind of way herself. She's also Egyptian, okay? So he firsthand kind of seen that this is kind of the nature of the Egyptians and how they do, how they act, these women that come from there, you know? And so Abraham told him that, hey, you need to get you another wife, man. You know, and he went and got him a whole nother woman. I don't know if she was an Egyptian as well, but my point is that, and the angel visits
Ishmael's mom too. As you can see, that Ishmael will grow up to be the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. So, these are the introductions of Muslims, basically. And they always felt like they was firstborn, and they didn't get to get all the benefits of God. And you're going to see the correlation between Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, and then later in the book of Jasher, we're going to read about Jacob and his brother Esau. So we can see that constantly dealing with brothers and God, these things start to take place, brother against brother. These things are constantly a theme in the story, right? There's always something like that, right? Two separate nations, right? And so you got one that's always trying to kill the other one. You know what I'm saying?
It looked like the firstborn thinks they just it. But you know, the Most High, he's not going by the firstborn. It makes a difference, but I don't understand why they can't get over it. That the Most High chooses who he wants. You know, although it may be a custom for the firstborn to get certain things, but he, like I said, it's not going to have to flow the way we think it should go. It's him. He can change whatever he want to change at any time. And to whom? You know, that's what I'm seeing throughout the different the differences between the different, you know, Cain and Abel, you know, Ishmael and Isaac. And I'm just seeing, you know, the differences and how they're so much alike as well. Okay.
Yeah, and Jacob and Esau. Right. There's dealing with these brothers, and each one of them became their own little nation, you know. Cain kind of formed his nation and ended up intermingling with Abel's nation, he killed Abel, but his brother, what's his name? The third son that was born, Seth. Seth and his generation, Abel kind of mixed in with them. But then later when Abraham had his sons, you can see that Ishmael's going to form his own nation. And Isaac is going to have his 12 tribes of Israel eventually, you know. And then you're going to see those ups and downs. And so, it's a constant story. So, just want to fast forward a little bit. So he's going to take Isaac. And by the way, there's something else that we kind of looked over. It speaks to Ishmael and Isaac as if they're only just little children. But in the book of Jasher, Isaac was like a 30-some-year-old boy, man, when he went up to the altar.
When he went up to the altar.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I didn't know that.
It says that Sarah was 100 years old. I want to say it says that Sarah was I forget. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Okay, but it didn't say how old Sarah was. I mean, she's 10 years younger than Abraham, so she had to be 90 years old, right?
Yeah, but wasn't that before Isaac and his mother were sent off?
In the book of Jasher, they sent them off, and Ishmael was like 13, or he could have been like 18 or something like that. And Isaac was only like 5.
Well, that's when he took Isaac and put him up for when he took them into the window, when when Abraham took him into the wilderness. That was before Ishmael and his wife, Ishmael and his mother were sent away. But I assume that it was Ishmael was still like 13, 14 years old or before.
I know,
but
right?
But you're saying that that's just make it sound like he was 30?
No, he was 30-some years old. See what I'm saying? So there's an age issue happening. All right. When Ishmael got sent off, that means that. As a matter of fact, how about I just read it? Okay, how about I just read it? Where am I leaving off now?
You're going back
now?
To what?
Genesis, the book of Genesis, and our canon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going back to Jasher.
Yeah, I am, but I really want to, because we hold this as the truth, and so to really know the differences, I got to go back and forth and read them both. But I promise, we're going to get inside, Jasher. Just 1 second. I just got to get this out. I think I stopped at verse 21. Okay, so I'm going to pick up at Genesis chapter 21, verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wont not who have done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, and because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. All right, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, we know God doesn't tempt us. So this is just a Hebrew word for meaning for tempt is something else. I'm sure of it. God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said,
right there,
behold, the fire.
Okay.
Okay, stop right there. In the canon, it says servants. He took up two servants, but in Jasher's, it was Ishmael and a servant. Because they were talking about Isaac. Yeah, they were talking about who was going to get the blessing after Isaac was killed, his offering was put up for an offering. So that's the difference. That's the difference in the two. So we don't know for sure if it was Ishmael here, because the canon say it wasn't. It's a servant. So maybe it was when you said, that's why you were saying 30 years old. But go ahead and continue. I just want to bring that to you.
Yeah, I wanted to say that in this story, it says he took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son. Right? In the book of Jasher, he took Isaac and then two other people, which is Ishmael and his servant, right?
Well, it said Ishmael and his servant, yes.
Right. And so Ishmael and his servant, as they was talking about who's going to get the property and wealth and riches of Abraham when Abraham dies.
Yeah, but that's not in the canon, though.
Yeah, that conversation
but that's not in the canon.
In this canon. No, ma'am, it's not. It's not in the canon.
Okay. All right. Just want to point that out.
Gotcha. It's not in the canon. It ain't got their age, see? And that's what I wanted to say, that Ishmael was cast off, but later in life, you know, after he got his second wife and all of that, that's when he went back to the land where Abraham was. And so at this point of time, he's in his 40s and 50s.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just wanted to show the assimilation. I was just showing the assimilation how the canon, the Bible, was giving us less information. And Joshua was in death. Mm. Okay, go
right.
ahead.
Right. Okay, all right, so here we go. I think, where am I at? I'm in verse 4?
No. You was about to talk about where Abraham was about to take the knife to slay his son. Was that 9?
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, maybe we can go back. Let me look back. I can't remember, but we were at that point where Abraham and Isaac left the two servants.
8. I'm going to start at 8.
Okay.
And Abram said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Then Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sea which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men.
Hold up, brother.
Okay.
Hold up, brother. That's the difference. You remember the difference at this point in the book of Jasher? That
no,
Satan
help
had
me.
A. Okay, when Abraham was going through, as he was told, remember when the ram was in the bush, the Satan was trying to keep the ram from being seen by Abraham.
Oh, right, right. Okay, gotcha.
So Satan had a part in that, and it didn't say anything right here regarding. But we're going to go on down as you read on further, because it doesn't say anything about Satan in there. But it doesn't say anything about the angels also talking with the Most High about Abraham. He has followed your instructions. He's about to do what you said. I mean, you know, he showed mercy because the Most High was going to let him go ahead and continue. That's in the book of Jasher. But then
right. The
Most High changed his mind and said, well, yes, he was going through with it. He was obeyed. He was obeying. So because of that, that's when the ram, you know, he sent the ram. Okay. But that's missing in the canon. All right. So let's continue and keep on going now. I'm just comparing the two and based on, you know, what we read before. And I wanted to see the differences in what we didn't get from the canon that we are getting a more detailed, you know, version in Jasher, the book of Jasher. So go ahead. I think you're 19 right here.
All right. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Camille, the father of Aram, and Chest, and Hazel, and Pildash, and Jalaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. All right, Rebekah is going to be the future Isaac's wife in the future. And Rephuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, Kibon, whose name was Ramah. She bare also Teba, Gaham, and Tahash, and Macha, okay. All right. Now, Sarah was 100, this is chapter 23, verse 1. Sarah was 127 years old, 127. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Gergesherbah, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah. So this is after the deal with Isaac on the mountain and everything. But it doesn't tell us how soon afterwards, and gave us the genealogy of Abraham's brother children. But in the book of Jasher, it gave us all of that before they lead us into the information dealing with Abraham and the mountain and Isaac and all of that. So, but in our canon, they give us that information after he dealt with Isaac on the mountain. Okay, and then right after that, it tells us that Sarah died. So, in the book of Jasher, it takes us more in detail on what led to Sarah's death. Okay, so with that being said, Sarah, were they talking about in Hebron? They wasn't in Hebron. They was in the land of the Philistines. So why Sarah is in Hebron, in the book of Jasher, we see why she died in Hebron, because she was
right.
trying to find out where Abraham
was.
Yes.
Yes.
She, yeah. She was
exactly
looking for Abraham. Yeah. So she was looking for Abraham and her son. This is the reason why she's in Hebron. Okay.
So the canon doesn't tell us how. You're right. The canon does not tell us why she left the land of the Philistines and ended up in Hebron. It doesn't even say that. It just left all that out.
Right.
It just left it out. Okay. So... See, it doesn't explain that.
Yeah,
so how was the people supposed to understand how she got there, or were they not supposed to even think about how she got there? You know,
well,
where
Jasher. Mm-hmm. Well, before I even read Jasher, I assumed that they just started to travel to Hebron, the land of Canaan, you know, her and Abraham, you know, and she died along the way.
I think it's the writers and of the book. They just left out information for the reader to put in their own imagination, which was going to be incorrect anyway. So because we wouldn't have never known unless they read another book called the Apocrypha. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. All right.
I just have to say that because if you don't get it from somewhere else, you'd be left with your own imagination as to how she got there. And what ministers might tell you. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump on down a little bit. I'm going to jump down. Abraham basically bought some caves in the land of Canaan because his wife died there. And he was looking for a burying place. So he bought some caves to bury his wife there. And looking down the road, he kind of see himself wanting to be buried next to his wife. So he bought a burying place. So I'm going to jump down I guess 15. And I'm going to just kind of read over 15.
Okay.
My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Hebron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant, and the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field of the cave, which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in and at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave and the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. All right. And chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, that's important. All right. Now we're getting into, that's real, real important what we're about to say here. Abraham was up in age. He done buried his wife. And he popped servant. He told him to put his hand under his thigh. That means Abraham is sitting down. And he wanted his servant to put his hand under that thigh. Now, that's the reason why I stopped right here. All right. Because this is going to take us down another rabbit hole, okay? All right. Abraham was originally from the land of Ur. He is part of not the Hamites, but of Shem, okay? The Chaldeans, okay? And this is what he's doing right now is whenever you feel like you're about to die or you want to give your last message to the living, to the things that you want to, you know, setting things in order before you die. Mm-hmm. This is like a ritual that the shamanic people did. Okay? Especially mm-hmm. to the person that you're talking to repeat your message, you know? And it was a servant, and this is what he's telling the servant. All right? The reason why I say it's going to take us down a rabbit hole, because there's only one people on this earth that still practice this. Okay? This
okay.
ritual. Well,
okay, so.
And that is in, okay. That is in India.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead.
That tells us that Abraham, those folks in India, once upon a time they was in Iraq, of the land of Ur. They are the Chaldeans of today. You hear me?
Yep, but I don't know what all that is about to go, except for they what you just said.
Yes, those old men, would they be having a dot on their foreheads and things like that in India?
I'm saying
that they are the descendants of Shem, and they're dark in complexion, but they don't quite look like the Hamites. It's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Are you saying that Abraham was part of the Hamites?
No, ma'am. I'm not saying that Abraham is of the Hamites.
But you said that they practiced the same thing that Abraham is doing, the people of India. I got you.
Yeah, because he's of them.
Okay.
That's what I was practicing it.
Okay.
Okay. So that right there will explain why he told his wife that you're my sister when they coming into the land, okay, in Egypt and the Philistines. Because when the Hamites seen them, they looked at different. They are people of color, but yet they looked at a facial structures, they look different.
You lost me somewhere. You're talking about when he and Sarah went into the other land, but I thought we was talking about the ritual, put your hand under my thigh, that the India still practices, people of India. Okay. So.
Right. I was connecting Abraham to them. And I was showing you that the way that they look, the way that the people in India look, is the reason why he told Sarah that you're my sister when they traveling to the Hamitic area.
Okay.
Because of the way they look.
Okay.
All right. Because the Hamites will kill him and take his wife, because that's what they said, she was so beautiful, even though she was elderly. There was something, that's the way those Hamites got down back then.
Yeah.
All right, with a
saying.
Woman that's different from their women.
Yeah, okay.
All right, okay. I think I'm clear with that. Okay, so, and I said all of that to say that there's a connection between India and the different idols that they believe and all of that. While the story of the Great Flood, if you were to look into what they believe in, and also they got they believe in a whole bunch of other different stuff in their belief system over there. Far as reincarnation, far as knowing the stars and things like that, these different gods that they believe in over there. But you can, if you look at their belief system, it parallels a lot with
our Bible and things like that, all right? And the Muslim world, too. You know, they got, but they more on a spiritual level and things like that. But we'll get into that later. It named a bunch of Abraham's brothers' children in here. And they would eventually become part of that Muslim world. But I just want to connect India to it because they still got these, eventually Israel's going to dive into paganism. And I just want to show you that it's because Abraham had a little bit of that in his culture. That paganism theme was still there, present, all right? Yeah. And, but, okay. I mean, he knew God and stuff like that, but he's still part of his cult. He still had a little bit of his culture residing in him and his family, okay? That's all I'm saying, all right?
That's why
really
he said, put
saying.
Your. That's why he told his servant to put your hand under my thigh.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, because that is the telltale sign of India right there, because nobody else does that except folks over there in India right now.
Okay.
They practice that to this very day. All right? And, all right, so that was a mouthful. I'm ready to get into the Book of Jasher now, unless you want to keep reading.
Oh, we're not
going to
finish? We're not going to finish that? 24 verse 3?
Oh, okay.
We're not going to finish that? He said put your under my thigh, but you didn't tell us. I mean, you kind of left us hanging there with the cliff note.
I know. You went down another
rabbit hole, but we didn't finish the hear what he told his servant. He said put your hand under my thigh, but it didn't tell me why he told his servant that.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'll get right to that. All right. Verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And he came from, they're in Canaan right now. All right, his dad and his brother also came from the land of Ur, and they settled not in Canaan, but they settled in another little land outside of Canaan, not too far away, you know. And that's where they at, okay? I know he didn't just brought all the way back to Ur, or did he? I don't know. I'm going to find out. But Ur is where they're from. But if I remember correctly in the Book of Jasher, his dad and everybody else kind of followed Abraham, leaving Ur, and came, close to this area. I know Abraham eventually went into the land of Egypt and went into the land of the Philistines, but Canaan was promised to him, so he was, because of that famine in the land, he went into the Philistines. But now they're back in Canaan, and now he's sending his servant to go find a wife for his son. So what I'm saying is I don't think he's going to travel all the way back to Ur. But then again, I don't know. Let's see where it's going to say. All right. Verse 6. And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Okay. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put
his hand under the thigh of his Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of the master and departed, for all the goods of the master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without Mesopotamia. That's he went all the way to Mesopotamia. That is definitely like by the land of Ur, okay, to the city of Nahor, okay, verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water.
Yeah. Near a well on the outside of the town.
And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. I show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, whom was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, 2 braces for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. All right, let me stop right there.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so Abraham really wanted someone of his lineage to marry his son. Okay.
Yeah.
But his lineage that he come from was the Chaldeans. All right. And the Chaldeans bloodline, who knows what's in their bloodline? You know what I'm saying? It could be a little bit of Hamitic. It could have been a little. They picked a wife. They didn't care how they picked their wives. Okay, you see what I'm saying? That's the way they are. So we just don't know what that bloodline is. What's going on with their bloodline? It's mysterious. Even today, if you look at India, the dark people with stringent hair, and you just don't know how it came. They different. They just different. Something else is going on with that bloodline. All right? Which Hamitic is pretty much, you can just see that everybody kind of is dark and everything. You can kind of see that they pretty much stick to themselves.
their own people. But yet when dealing with the Semitic folks, it's just you don't know. You just don't know. And I'm saying that beforehand because Rebecca, when she gives birth in the future, how they describe her children, Esau, Jacob, and Esau, is going to make you wonder about what was in her lineage, okay?
Well, isn't she the granddaughter of Nahor? And isn't he Abraham's brother?
Right? Yes.
Okay, yes. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure that we said that, too. Okay.
Yeah, we don't know who his wife was. Who did he get a wife from? Where did she even come from?
Yeah,
you know
it really doesn't. It doesn't even tell us much, right? About the women, it's mostly the men.
Right. So we don't know too much about it, right? Because in the future, how we looked at these people in the future with the Israelites, they are the Gentiles, right? Knezer come from the Chaldeans. So that tells me that he was like an India-looking type of person, and we just don't know what's all in his bloodline. What's all in, those type of people, their culture, they're Gentiles. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I hear what you're saying. Yes, I hear what you're saying.
Right.
So,
but in the future, we can see that the God. Yes. And I don't want to too much go too depth into this because we want to get back to Jasher, and Jasher haven't got to this part yet. All right?
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
we just met Rebecca.
We just met Rebecca. So we just got to remember that Genesis 24 is when Rebecca comes onto the scene. And so we want to stop right here and get into Jasher. And, where did the time go? It is 36 minutes before the show. Okay. But we can go over a little bit. All right. Hopefully, I can get a couple chapters off. Let's take a little break.
Well, we've actually discussed quite a bit, and you read quite a bit. So, I mean, it's good that we can read and we can compare. And it's not this was well talked about.
Okay. Well, I feel a little better now. Let's take a little break. Let me play a little song. Let me play a little song, and then we are finally going to get into the Book of Jasher, okay? Let's take a little
it's
break.
It's okay for us to deviate, brother. I'm not rushing you back into Jasher, but I'm just saying that this was good to compare the differences with the canon, and the Book of Jasher or the Apocrypha. And so this is good information. Really good information.
Okay. All right. Let me put you on hold, Sister Dale.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's play a little song. Let's see here. I think I didn't finish playing Ancient of Days. Let's play that one.
It's the Book of Sirach, chapter 43, verse 30. What that means? When you glorify the Lord, exalt him as much as you can. Thank you very much for that precept. When you glorify the Lord, exalt him as much as you can. You're supposed to give the Most High credit for everything. Don't let these Christians outpraise you.
Ancient of Days.
Why I hit my knees, the water all, but we a part of this.
Ancient of Days. the day. We give you praise. Your holy day. Submit to your way. You the one got us right out of Egypt. So Pharaoh the neck with his people. Made a covenant just with his people. That lion ain't gonna tear up their evil. But we David 7-9. He got woolly hair just like his people. Keep commandments, you'll be fine. The 12 tribes on the king.
Age of the day.
We give you praise.
All right. Welcome to on this side of the break. All right. Oh, Sophia, let me open up your line.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, let's go to the Book of Jasper. We left off, I want to say chapter 24.
Let's take a look. Let me see. I'm not sure now because I don't left the spot.
We left off with Sarah dying.
You're right.
Okay. All right. So let me get started on 24, Jasher. Chapter 24, verse 1. And the life of Sarah was 127 years, and Sarah died. And Abraham rose up from before his dead to seek a burial place to bury his wife Sarah. And he went and spoke to the children of Heth and the inhabitants of the land, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you in your land. Give me a possession of a burial place in your land, that I may bury my dead from before me. And the children of Heth said unto Abraham, Behold, the land is before thee, in the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead, for no man shall withhold thee from burying thy dead. And Abraham said unto them, If you are agreeable to this, go and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zotor, requesting that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which is in the end of his field. And I will purchase it of him for whatever he desire of it. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and they went and called for him. And he came before Abraham. Ephron said unto Abraham, Behold, all thou requirest thy servant will do. And Abraham said, No, but I will buy the cave and the field which thou hast for value, in order that it may be for a possession of a burial place forever. And Ephron answered and said, Behold, the field and the cave are before thee. Give whatever thou desirest. And Abraham said, Only at full value will I buy it from thy hand, and from the hands of those that go in at the gate of thy city, and from the hand of thy seed forever. And Abraham and Ephron and all his brethren heard this. And Abraham weighed to Ephron 400 shekels of silver, in the hands of Ephron and in the hands of all his brethren. And Abraham wrote this transaction, and he wrote it
and testified it with four witnesses. And these are the names of the witnesses. Amigil, son of Epshina, the Hittite. All right, he's a Hamite. Actor Adikiroma, Roma, son of Ashunak, the Hivite. So you got a Hittite and a Hivite. Abdon, son of Ekrim, the Gomerite. Bakadil, the son of Abadish, the Zidonite. All right? So these are Hamitic people right here that Abraham's dealing with. And they spoke, their language is similar to Hebrew. I just got to say this right quick, because this also kind of goes into why Abraham did what he did, as far as our language goes. Prior to this, we were speaking Paleo-Hebrew, all right? But the Canaanites, even though we can understand what they're saying in the land of Canaan, is that Abraham adapted our language with theirs so we can communicate with the surrounding people, right? And they spoke a similar language that it was very similar. Their words are very similar to our Paleo-Hebrew. But they had like little words like verbs and nouns and things like that that complement the language. And Abraham expanded our language. So we kind of adapted. And that whole thing, what is now called the it starts with a P. Hold on. It's going to come to me. It's the Phila, I cannot think of it. Anyway, I'm sorry. My mind just went blank. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, it's a certain Hebrew. We went from Paleo Hebrew to this particular Hebrew, and we was able to talk to the Canaanites. In the future, we're going to be able to talk to the Muslim world in the future, and that's when we're going to adapt into their language, Aramaic, mm-hmm. and things like that, and adapt into theirs. It's a branch of our Hebrew that just evolved over years, okay?
Yes.
Okay, anyway. So, so that's what's going on here. Anyway, all right, where was I? So these are Hamitic people. These people today, a lot of us believe that they are the South Africans today. All right? So just like we left this area in 70 A.D., they did too. And that's why we wound up in the west part of Africa, and a lot of Canaanites went with the brethren and end up in the middle of Africa to the south Africa. All right? Mm. So that's the best way how I kind of view these people here.
Mm.
Okay. All right. We call them Canaanites, even though they're from different Hamitic places, because they all merged in together. Anyway, right, 9. And Abraham took the book of purchase and placed it in his treasures, and these are the words that Abraham wrote in the book, namely, that the cave and the field Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite, and from his seed, and from those that go out of his city, and from their seed forever, are to be purchased to Abraham and to his seed and to those that go forth from his loins for possession of a burial place forever. And he put a signet to it and testified it with witnesses. And the field and the cave that was in it and all that place were made sure unto Abraham and his seed after him. From the children of Heth, behold, it is before Mamre in Hebron, which is in the land of Canaan. And after this, Abraham buried his wife Sarah there, and that place and all his boundary became Abraham unto his seed for possession of a burial place. And Abraham buried Sarah with pomp, as observed at the interment of kings. And she was buried in very fine and beautiful garments, and at her bier was Shem, his sons Eber and
Abimelech, together with Anar and Mamre, and all the grandees of the land followed her bear, a burial. I guess that bear was a burial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a funeral. So yeah, Shem was at a funeral.
Like, and they was like the pallbearers.
Right. And the days of Sarah was 127 years, and she died. And Abraham made a great and heavy mourning, and he performed the rites of mourning for 7 days. And all the inhabitants of the land comforted Abraham and Isaac, his son, on account of Sarah. And when the days of their mourning passed by, Abraham sent away his son Isaac, and he went to the house of Shem and Eber to learn the ways of the Lord and his instruction. And Abraham remained there 3 years. Okay, so he sent Isaac back with Shem and Eber when they came to the burial.
Right.
Okay, to learn the ways of the Lord and his instruction.
Yeah.
Okay. At that time, Abraham rose up with all his servants, and they went and returned homeward to Beersheba. And Abraham and all his servants remained in Beersheba. And at the revolution of the year, what's that now?
I had a question. So that means that Isaac was about 5-6 years old when he left with Shem and Eber.
No. No, ma'am.
Okay, so he was 5 or 6 when he went with his father into the land of Moriah.
To up to the mountain? No, ma'am.
Yes. Okay, well, we'll get back
no,
into
ma'am.
That later. We'll get back into that later, like you said.
No,
okay.
No, ma'am, I'm going to find it right now.
Well, we don't have to, because you said that she was 127 years when she died, and she was 90. How old was she
when Isaac was born? 90 when Isaac was born.
Okay. Okay, now I see what you're saying about the age difference. Yes.
Right. She was 90 when he was born.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would make 27. That would make
37.
Isaac, 37.
Yes.
Okay. So this is according to Jasher. All of this is taking place right after he did the official with Isaac.
Yeah, right.
So that, you know, he's up in age. Okay. And I can't find where it says his age.
No.
Okay.
Well,
so,
don't worry about it. We can keep on going. That's what I mean. We can make
we'll
it
first,
another
we'll
something to look
tomorrow.
At tomorrow, maybe.
Okay. Where am I at? Okay. Where did I leave off at?
I believe we was at probably 19 at the time Abraham rose up with the servants, and they went and returned homeward to Beersheba, and Abram and all of his servants remained in Beersheba. And I think 19 is the next.
Right, okay. And the revolution of the year, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, died in that year. He was 193 years old at his death. And Abraham went with his people to the land of the Philistines, and they comforted the whole household and all his servants. And he then turned and went home. And it was after the death of Abimelech, the people of Gerar took Ben-Malik, his son, and he was only 12 years old, and they made him lion in the place of his father. Okay. And they called his name Abimelech after the name of his father, for thus was it their custom to do in Gerar. And Abimelech reigned instead of Abimelech, his father, and he sat upon his throne. And Lot, the son of Aaron, also died in those days. In the 39th year of the life of Isaac, and all the days that Lot lived were 140 years, and he died. And these are the children of Lot that were born to him by his daughters, that came, the name of the firstborn was Moab, and the name of the second was Ben-Ami. And the two sons of Lot went and took themselves wives from the land of Canaan, and they bare children to them. And the children of Moab were Ed, Mayon, Tarsus, and Kanvil, four sons. These are fathers to the children of Moab unto this day. And all the families of the children of Lot went to dwell wherever they should light upon, for they were fruitful and increased abundantly. And they went and built themselves cities in the land where they dwelt. And they called the name of the cities which they built after their own names. Keep in mind, those are Hamites that Lot married into. Okay. And Nahor, the son of Terah, brother to Abraham, died in those days, 40th year of the life of Isaac. And all the days of Nahor were 172 years. And he died and was buried in Haran. And, yeah, Haran, that's the place that, okay, gotcha, Haran. Okay, and when Abraham heard that his brother was dead, he grieved sadly, and he mourned over his brother many days. And Abraham called for Eliezer, his head servant, to give him orders concerning his house. And he came and stood before him. And Abraham said to him, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death, for I am advanced in days. Now, therefore, rise up, go forth, and do not take a wife for my son from this place and from this land, from the daughters of the Canaanites, amongst whom we dwell. But go to my land and to my birthplace." Okay, gotcha. "And take from thence a wife for my son, and the Lord God of heaven and earth, who took me father's house and brought me to this place, and said unto me, 'To thy seed will I give this land for an inheritance forever,' he will send his angel before thee and prosper thy way, that thou mayest obtain a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house." And the servant answered his master Abraham and said, "Behold, I go to thy birthplace and to thy father's house, and take a wife for thy son from there. But if the woman be not willing to follow me to this land, shall I take thy son back to the land of thy birthplace?" And Abraham said unto him, "Take heed that thou bring not my son hither again, for the Lord before whom I have walked, he will send his angel before thee and prosper thy way." And Eliezer did as Abraham ordered him. And Eliezer swore unto Abraham his master upon this matter. And Eliezer rose up and took 10 camels of the camels of his master and 10 men from his master's servants with him. And they rose up and went to Haran, the city of Abraham and Nahor, in order to fetch a wife for Isaac, the son of Abraham. And while they were gone, Abraham sent to the house of Shem and Eber, and they brought from thence his son Isaac. Came home to his father's house to Beersheba, while Eliezer and his men came to Haran, and they stopped in the city by the watering place. And he made his camels to kneel down by the water, and they remained there. And Eliezer, Abraham's servant, prayed and said, "O God of Abraham, my master, send me, I pray thee, good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master, that thou shalt appoint this day a wife for my master's son from his family." And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Eliezer for the sake of his servant Abraham. And he happened to meet with a daughter of Bethuel, the son of Malchah, the wife of Nahor, brother to Abraham. And Eliezer came to her house. And Eliezer related to them all his concerns and that he was Abraham's servant, and they greatly rejoiced at him. And they all blessed the Lord who brought this thing about. And they gave him Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, for a wife for Isaac. And the young woman was very comely in appearance. She was a virgin, and Rebekah was 10 years old in those days. Okay. And Bethuel... And Bethuel and Laban and his children made a feast on that night. And Eliezer and his men came and ate and drank and rejoiced there on that night. And Eliezer rose up in the morning.
I just wanted to compare. Yes, we wanted to compare because, as we can see, it doesn't say anything about her giving the camel, giving him water and to drink.
Okay.
In the book of Joshua, it doesn't say that particular incident.
No, ma'am, it doesn't.
Right? Okay.
And it doesn't say anything about his hand being under Abraham's thigh when he made that swear, that promise.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't in here either, right. Okay, I just wanted to point that out.
I'm also looking at the name of Rebekah, and it got it that she's 10 years old. And I don't think that's correct.
I know those are, well, I know you're saying that's opinions, but this is already was written several hundred years ago, right? But I'm just saying,
right.
But we don't know. That's the reason why you can't just take it for truth. That's what you're saying. It's just a book informing us. So we have to be true, and we have to believe in the canon, of course. I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying that this gives us some more in-depth things to think about. It doesn't say whether or not you're going to believe it or not. It's totally individually. You know, it's individual. That means a person will have to pray and the Spirit will lead us into our truth. So, therefore, I'm just saying, because the canon doesn't say she was 10 years old. The canon doesn't say how old she was. So
but,
you can see there's bits and pieces missing from both books.
Yeah, the reason why I'm disputing over the age is because when it lists off the names of Abraham's brother's generation, it's if she's 10, then it's saying that all that happened 10 years prior. And it kind of seems like she would be a little bit older than that.
10 years prior to what?
But,
what do you mean? What happened 10 years prior to her?
Isaac coming off the mountain and all of that with Abraham.
Oh. Well, I didn't even think of anything like that at all. Because he...
I don't know what you mean.
Well, he sent Isaac to his brother, right? And Isaac was 37, right?
No, he was 40.
Okay, he was 37 when his mother died.
Right.
Okay, so, but I thought it was shortly after that.
When he came back,
Abraham.
It was 3 years. 3 years have passed, and he's back at Abraham's house. He's 40 years old.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, but I thought that when he sent his servant to look for a wife. Was Isaac back at that point? I thought Isaac came back after the servant was gone.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
You're
but
correct.
It doesn't give us a time.
It says in the scripture we just read that he sent the servant on a mission, right?
Yeah.
To go find
a
wife for his son. And then while his servant was gone, Abraham also sent to Shem and Eber them to send his son back home.
Okay.
All right. 3 years passed, and now his son is coming home. His son is 40. And during the time
right.
that his servant went to go find a wife, he's 40 years old, right? But
okay.
if 37? He was 30-something years old. Well, hold on.
He was 37 when his mother died, Sarah.
So only 3 years passed since his mother died, right?
So now he's 40, like you said. And
okay.
then the servant leaves to find a wife, which maybe it took about a year or so, but she was 10 years old, Rebecca.
Yeah, but it mentions back the genealogy of when his brother and, you know, his dad and all his kin's people and Rebecca being born. It mentioned that back in a couple chapters back, I believe. And
we can
if you look
that.
At that time period, huh?
Well,
anyway,
I'm
just not sure that she was 10. That's all, my whole point. Okay.
Okay.
My whole point, I'm just not sure.
I'm just going to put down, I'm going to research Rebecca's birthday. I want
okay.
to see how old she was and see if I can find out the differences between her and Isaac, age-wise.
Okay.
Okay. We can continue.
Okay, because it's kind of seeming like she's, you know, a little younger than what I always thought. Anyway, I don't like that they put that she's 10 years old. And Bethuel and LeBron and his children.
And
Bethuel and LeBron
like it,
and his
children. I know
okay.
you're taking it personally, bro.
Yeah. Chapter 24, verse 41. And Bethuel and LeBron and his children made a feast on that night. And Eliezer and his men came and ate and drank and rejoiced there on that night. And Eliezer rose up in the morning, he and the men that were with him, and he called to the whole household of Bethuel, saying, send me away that I may go to my master. And they rose up, sent away Rebekah and her nurse Deborah, the daughter of Uz. And they gave her silver and gold, men servants and maid servants, and they blessed her. And they sent Eliezer away with his men, and the servants took Rebekah. And he went and returned to his master to the land of Canaan. And Isaac took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he brought her into the tent. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, and daughter of his uncle, Bethuel, for a wife.
Okay, right there.
Okay, that's the end of chapter
42. Okay, so Isaac was 40, and she was 10.
That's what
this
okay.
book is trying to let us know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just saying. This
yeah, that's what
written.
This book is saying, but we can't take this. Yeah.
But yeah, we have to. You have to do your research and that type of thing. But is this why some of the Israelites think that they could just take young women for wives?
No. Let's not do that, Sister.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Because sometimes people can read.
No,
they read something
no,
and
we
then
don't
they just
believe
take it for
in that.
Truth.
That is
okay.
pedophilia. Okay?
That's yeah,
pedophile
well, that's
stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
I understand that. But I think that... you know, like I said, I was doing my research, and I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people figure and think that this is not right because of that. There are some camps that think that they can take, you know, have more than one wife, and that the wife can be young.
Well, as far as having more than one wife, that is something that we practice. And we believe in that. But far as them being very young, like little girls in the second and third grade, no, that's not what we believe in.
But you know, the other thing is, brother, is that the canon also tells us to abide by the law of the land. And if the law of the land says that you cannot have more than one wife, isn't that still doing what the Most High wants us to do?
You said
it's
the law of the
no
land.
Not that's what I said. He wants us as to abide by the laws of the land. That's one of the things that we have to do in order to live. If you're not going to do that, then you're going to have a lot of issues
with the people of the land.
Laws of the land. Laws of the land.
We're going to have a lot of trouble with the people, with the creator of those laws of the land.
Which is the laws of the land, the general people, and not so much as customs. But I understood, according that to our canon, and that the Most High wants us to be obedient. He wants us to, you know, He wants us to follow the rules and the laws that governs us. Now, are you saying that if you say that we are not to follow the rules and the laws of the land, that means that everybody can do whatever they think their creator of customs put forth, and then there's no organization, there's no everything will be out of control, wouldn't it?
I defined it a little different than how you're putting it, but I think I can understand what you're saying.
He wanted us to abide
the laws of the land, of the foreign lands that we may be in, so we won't get persecuted and thrown in jail and punished unnecessarily. You know
what
I'm saying? When
we're
out of our land and we under somebody else's control, to be obedient
exactly
to
I'm
it.
Saying. That's exactly what
so
I'm
we
saying.
Don't,
so still,
not,
abide
so we
by
won't
the
get,
laws
you know,
of the land that you're living in right now.
Right. He wanted us.
So he
wanted us to do that so we don't get, you know, persecuted by
exactly.
the people
so
that,
we
would that
put
made
you
up
in jail
the law.
For that kind of stuff. Yes. I'm saying our federal government, and they would put people in jail, and that's the reason why we have so many children coming and missing, because people believe in their custom or rituals.
Far as missing children, those are evil people that's up to no good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if it's their culture.
I
think it's a wicked thing that they...
I understand what you're saying, brother. That's what I'm saying. We don't believe in stuff like that. We don't do that. Because he wants us to be, follow the laws of the land. And that's the type of people we are. That's all I'm saying. So let's not go there. And if you want to go there, we'll talk about that on a personal note. But one day, maybe we can make it a topic and try to discuss that.
Yeah, it's definitely not us that are taking children around the world.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that.
No. But I know you didn't say that, but you're saying culture, you're mixing culture into the people that are taking children.
No, I say that there are some cultures.
And we're reading in the book of Jasher today.
Yes, sir. I know. I don't want to confuse you. I'm not saying that. I am definitely not saying that. I understood that as I do my research, I came across one gentleman saying, I can't remember the count, and that topic did come up. And so I suggest that everybody make sure you do your research, because not everybody is on the same page. And everybody don't do that, because we follow the laws of the land according to our canon. For us to be good stewards, right?
That's right, Ma.
Okay, well, so let me just leave it like that.
Most importantly, we know the difference from wicked and good. And having a woman of that age is a no good thing. Right?
Even a young girl. So, she's not a woman at that age. But yes,
well, I mean,
understand.
Young girl. That is wicked and evil in all different scenarios. Me being a father and I have daughters of my own, all I can think about is that is a wickedness of itself.
Yes.
All
absolutely.
Right.
I agree with that. So I'm just saying.
This is what we're reading here. We came across the age of Rebecca. And and I'm not liking the age, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around this is probably 4,000 years ago. And I'm trying to understand how the people in Africa do unto this very day with this tribal mentality that they have today. And I'm trying to connect it like that, you know, practice that they was doing. But it's still rough. It's still rough to me. That's just considered wicked, okay, to me. So, So, anyway, we're going to move on from that. And but this is Hebrew Israelites, is our origins and our history. And I take the good and the bad in our history. So, all right. So what were we doing now, Cecile?
Well, this is chapter 25 that we're going to be in next, and I guess we'll take this up on tomorrow.
Okay.
But
we only read
I think we passed our time, right? Yeah, I think it was past our time, right? But that's okay. This was good.
Yeah, we passed our time, but, you know, we can go over. But, we can end it right now. I just hate to end it that we only read two chapters. Was it just one chapter?
We discussed a lot, though. Yes, sir. But we discussed a lot. We did. We discussed a lot, and most importantly, the canon versus the Book of Jasher, the Apocrypha, and the different ones, how they kind of they're saying the same similar things, and some may have a little bit more in it and or a little less. And so we're just comparing the two. And it's good to compare because then they can see that you can get a little more information from one, maybe not from the other. And then you go back and research to find out why you don't have that other information there. But then once you continue reading and you read other books that also elaborates on the same topic, you get a general idea that you can learn by reading more. You learn more by reading more.
Right.
That's all.
Right. And before we go, I just want to say it one more time that this it makes me feel better to say it one more time anyway. Because what we just read is something that bothers me. And Sister Dale, you're right. There is an Israelite camp that they believe everything they read, right? And they read this, and they're in it too, embracing our Hebrew Israelite culture, trying to bring back their culture here. And you're right. This is probably where they get it from, right here, what we just read. And, that's wicked. It's wicked in my eyes, and I'm ashamed that they even would say something like that out of their mouth. So, as you can tell by my attitude, it bothers me. But nevertheless, this is our culture, and I take the good and bad at being Israelite and some of the things that we did. We even sacrificed our kids in the Bible. Put our children inside of a bull or something like that, made out of iron and metal, and they set fire in there with the children. And as they scream, the noise will come out of the nostril and the mouth of that bull, and it makes a certain sound. And we was worshiping that God of that bull.
Well, no wonder we did a lot of trouble with him, too. Well,
yeah,
but I'm just saying,
people, we gotta,
sir, I understand.
we got to accept the good and the bad of being Israelite and all our ancestors and what they have done. That's my whole
point. Yeah, of course. I know what you mean. Thank you, brother.
All right. Okay, so with that being said, Sistel, I'm going to close us out with a song. Anything last you want to say before we end the show?
No, I'm good. I'm waiting. Tomorrow's a new day, and at 5 o'clock tomorrow then.
All right. Shalom, Sistel.
Shalom.
All right. Well, y'all, there you have it. Man, right at the end, that bothered me, y'all. Because I think we just read where those brothers get that stuff from. And it bothered me. I don't know if y'all can tell. But I do. I got daughters, y'all. And any brothers that's out there talking about the Israel and they're for that, it sends a little shock down my spine, man. That's wicked, y'all. That's wicked, and that's just wicked. And so, it kind of gives us this movement a bad name. I do want to bring back the Israelite culture. I do. But in a sense that is still, like what Sister Thale said, under the laws of this land. And even when we get back to our land, I still consider that particular to still be a no-no, okay? So, I mean, you know, that's one of those things, and it bothers me. But nevertheless, I'm going to go ahead and end the show with a, how about Get Right? Yeah, I'm going to play that song there because that's what we got to do. We got to get ourselves right, get our mind right. All right, let's play Get Right.
All praise to the Most High, perpetual, Anabiel, repentance.
You think you ballin'? If you put your soul on the line, then how much you costin'? We readin' between the lines, we movin' with caution. Everywhere we go, we shine, we light up the darkness. At first it was awkward. But now I'm all in.
Ay, I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right. I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right.
What is you talking about? You bugging. How can I not feel repentance when that's all I talk about? No frontin'. I refuse to live a lie, I'm living my story out. And I love it. I had to prioritize what need to be sorted out. Cause I wasn't. Getting me tight, my spirit attacking his beat. I was busy chasing Fetty, I realized that was the least. I had to step on my energy, so I stopped searching for keys. Now it's up, and it's stuck, the most I directed my feet. Ain't no scamming, that money don't tempt me. Word of mouth, but that do not impress me. Women chasing, they gon' have to catch me. It's amazing how much we be stressing over nonsense that don't equate to a blessing. Rerouting, we changing directions. We find a plug, repentant. I got bars, let me finish my sentence. They do not get it, reading my lyrics. They just rapping, they don't got a mission. I just watch Tupac. We both got similar spirits, so they gotta feel it. I'm ballin'. If you put your soul on the line, then how much you costin'? We reading between the lines, we moving with caution. Everywhere we go, we shine, we light up the darkness. At first it was awkward, but now I'm all in.
Ay, I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right. I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right.
What's poppin'? As I'm writing, I think about Colossians. No, I do not eat shrimp, neither lobster. Cause I live by the law and the prophets. What you thought, this was regular gospel? This not checkers, don't put me in boxes. Labels wanna use me for the profit. You a 8-ball, not get out my pocket. Something like Parkinson's when I jot it. It's a movement and they cannot stop it. No disrespect to the people that got it. I pray for your healing, I'm getting off topic. Humble talking and talk just like gossip. So I put it on wax, me ice. The most I he made me to kick like karate. Holy Spirit, it moved through my body. And the angels controlling my quality.
quality. Something like little baby and Yachty, the most high. He gave his son as a prophet. He got the keys and he made me a copy. So I'm dropping that weight like Tekashi. How I flip that was fire, hibachi. Shots to take cause I rob with my Akis. Ain't no faking, we move like a posse. No Emmy yet, we not doing no crossing. This is bigger than us and we know it. Straight repentance until I'm exhausted. Plus this beat got me feeling heroic. So I'm trying to save this generation. A Navier more than a poet. I got greatness in my spirit, and I'm required to show it. The enemy know that I'm ballin'.
I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right. Yeah, I had to get right.